Amen. 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 That's good there, wasn't it? Amen. Enjoyed that, fellas. I was listening to him this afternoon, and this done great. I appreciate that. And he won't stay dead, or he didn't stay dead, and guess what? He ain't going to stay gone either. Amen. Amen. One of these days, even so come Lord Jesus, is the way John said it. And I'm looking forward every day. I hope you do. And as I say, as others say, I don't know how I'm going, but I'm going. It might be by the clod or the cloud. Either way, I'll be fine. And as I think it was Mace Jackson used to say, if you hear that I'm dead, somebody lied to you because I ain't going to die. So, amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 21 this evening. We're going to finish up this chapter and just work our way down through these verses. As we saw in chapter 20, there were several verses in there that are just, to me, key type things. Everything that we've seen is very helpful, very needful. And if there's just certain things that, you know, that I highlight or underline. And that's one of the things I really miss about my old Bible. I think about all the notes that the Lord let me have down through the days that I'll never get back. But it is a joy to start fresh, I guess. Tonight we're going to see a few verses that are just, to me, verses that if you don't get nothing else, I hope you'll get these two verses especially, that I believe if you could conquer these two verses here, it'd be a great help as you go down life's road. So let's pray, and we're just going to go verse by verse this evening and see what the Lord does. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you, Lord, again for loving us. And God, I sure need you this evening. Lord, I know, God, if you don't speak, if you don't lead us tonight, God, it'll be all in vain. But I'm glad tonight to know the surety that your word will not return void. Lord, I'm thankful it speaks. I'm thankful it leads and guides. And Lord, I don't know what every need is tonight. I don't know what people are going to face this week, but I sure do know one thing. Lord, you're faithful. And God, I just ask you tonight to help us as we study the word of God together. I pray, Lord, that you'll just give us wisdom, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. For us in Christ's name we do pray and we do ask. Amen. We looked last week and we finally made it through down to verse number 11. We spent a little bit of time on verse number 9 trying to help Brother Tony out, but I don't think it helped him, so we'll try again tonight. God gives us another verse to try to help Brother Tony out, so we'll see if we can help him along the way this evening. So we'll look at it. But let's begin reading together again, just verse by verse. Some of the things that we'll see tonight, we won't spend much time on because we've already seen the same verse. And again, just because we've seen it before, does that not mean that maybe God thinks we need to know that? When he repeats himself, when he goes over a certain area of things that maybe these are important things, I would think so. If God would think enough to tell me more than one time or show me something more than one time, I would think that they would mean something to us. And then there's one verse tonight, and we'll get to it here in a little bit. I'll make mention of it when we get there. I know that you're probably a better Bible scholar than I am, but there are verses in the Bible that I don't understand. And there's one verse tonight that I could tell you what some commentary says, but I ain't going to do that because I didn't like what they said either. It just didn't hit home with me. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying it just don't fit what I, you know, people try to stretch things sometimes to make them fit. That's not what you do with the Word of God. If it don't fit, it ain't going to fit. If it ain't right, it ain't right. And so there's one verse tonight that is sod to me. And so if God's give you insight when we get to this one verse, you see me after church and help me out, and that's what it's all about. So we'll see what the Lord does. But verse number 12 is one of these verses that I believe that's very interesting. It's one of these verses that I believe is very helpful to get a hold of this truth. Again, we study the book of Proverbs. Again, the book of Proverbs is a book that you ought to read quite often. Again, you can read one chapter every day and you'll read the book of Proverbs in a month because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And each one of these verses, we're dealing with the wisdom and the mind of God, and that sure needs to be our hope. Amen. I'm telling you, we need some folks with some godly wisdom. We sure don't have much of that in our country today. It's evident by what's in Washington. Amen right there. And we sure could use some godly wisdom in our country. So, but it's got to start somewhere. You know, again, we can continue to fuss and complain and do all that. But let's raise up a generation that loves God. That's what we need to do. And it's got to start somewhere. So I believe it all start here. And, well, preacher, you think it can happen? I believe God can do anything. And I'm not going to cut God short. The biggest problem is me. And we just need to get out of God's way and let God have his way. But verse number 13, the Bible says, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. There's two parts to this verse. God gives this great statement here. And I think the key to understanding is, it says the righteous man. And again, we're not righteous. You know, our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. But thank God that through the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the gift of salvation, we have took his righteousness. And with that, we ought to have, and that's what God's showing us here. He says the righteous man wisely. Again, I want to be wise. I want to have that mind of God that helps me to see, not through the eyes of what man says, and not through the thoughts as what I think or what somebody else has told me. I want to know what God says. I want to know what God desires. I think Brother Rick mentioned it in his prayer even tonight. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalms 119, verse 18. I want God to open my eyes. I want God to show me what he wants me to see. And here God tells us, and if you're saved tonight, that's you, this righteous man, to be wise. He tells us something to do. He says, considers. Now look at it, verse 12, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. So God says that a righteous man would be wise to consider the house of the wicked. Why would he say that? Well, I believe one of the things that we ought to just throw out right off the cuff is, what do you consider about the wicked? If you could spit it out right then, what would you say? When you consider the wicked, what do you think? And I can imagine if we went around the room, we'd have all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things that come out of our mouth when we say, well, this is what I consider about the wicked. Well, why did God tell us to do that? And also, the question is, it's not per se about the wicked itself, but he says, consider the house of the wicked. So there's something there to be seen about the house of the wicked. And I believe the reason God tells us as righteous in God's righteousness to consider the house of the wicked, we've got to stay in tune. We've got to stay in check. And as we go through life, we need to keep our eyes on the what God has before us and to realize we don't want to go that way. We want to stay on the narrow way. We want to stay on the right way. And God tells us to consider, to remember, to think about the ways of the wicked. But not only the ways of the wicked, but the house of the wicked. And there's things about a house I thought about. Two things really stick out in my mind is, and I believe we consider about a house. And the first thing is, you know, if you're going to have a house, where are you going to build it? Where are you going to build it at? You know, you got to have location. Where do you build at? And you know, there's something about location even with us. I'm thankful I can call Gospel Light Baptist Church home. This is our church, amen. I thank God that, you know, when I think about God's house, Gospel Light Baptist Church, that God allows us to have here, the location, it's not about this building, but I'm glad that God allows us to come together. But he tells us to consider the wicked. What about their location? You know, I'm glad in my mind, in my location, greater than just the church here, but the Bible says I'm in his hand. That's a pretty good location, isn't it? I'm in the hand of God because of his salvation. But what about the wicked? Where's the wicked at tonight? Well, they're down at the bar. They're down here at this. They're there. They're out in this world. Look with me with a verse tonight. Look over. Hold your place there in Proverbs. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah this evening real quickly. There's an interesting verse here, Jeremiah chapter 17. Every time I think about this verse, it's one of these verses that maybe, you know, you forget that's there. But when I think about this verse, when this verse comes back across my mind, it brings back memories of things that I see around my house. This is what the Bible says. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 11, God tells us this. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, So he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days. At his end shall be a fool. Do you know where a partridge lays their eggs? On the ground. Now, I don't know much about partridges, but I do know a little bit about some birds around our house. And I don't know what they're really called. I call them killdeers or whatever they're called. Little brown, white, long-legged, noisy birds. Everybody know what I'm talking about? If you get close to where their eggs are, they'll play the broken wing thing on you. They'll try to get your attention to get you away from that egg. Do you know where they lay their eggs? On the ground. No nest. Flat on the ground. You know how I know that? I run over many of their eggs. It's a dangerous place to lay an egg, isn't it? It's a dangerous place to think about raising a family, isn't it? Why? Because all the elements, all the dangers of snakes and animals and big fat people like me on a lawnmower. That egg had no chance. But God says about this partridge here, look at it. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, at the end shall be a fool. Again, God tells us to consider the house of the wicked. And tonight they're just like that partridge, that just like that killdeer that lays its young out on the ground with no protection, with no comforts, with nothing to provide for them. That's what the house of the wicked is like. And God tells us to consider that. Don't you want more than that for your family? Don't you want more than that for your neighbors? Don't you want more than that for the people you go to school with? Don't you want more than that for anybody that you didn't even know? I'm glad God offers shelter. I'm glad God is my shepherd, that God takes care of me. And the God, my God just didn't lay me out on the ground and leave me there. God tells us to consider that way of the wicked. And that's what the wicked will do. But not only where, but I think about, and I heard somebody mention it, is that foundation. If you look with me also this evening over in the book of Matthew, we find that scenario that God tells us there's two foundations. Matthew chapter 7 this evening. Again, God tells us to consider the house of the wicked. You ever look, and again, it's, if you're not careful, you'll sit back and say, well, I'm better than them. That's not what God's saying. Don't consider how blessed you think you are. We're only saved because of the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am because of God. Tonight, I'm only what I am because of God. But God says, look, consider it. Don't go that way. See what their ways are and don't let that influence you. Matthew chapter 7, we find something about these houses. Again, he tells us to consider the house of the wicked. Matthew chapter 7, look in verse number 24 this evening. The Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house. Now, see, we're talking about houses. God says to consider the house of the wicked. A fool says there is no God. That'd be a wicked man. And God says here that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house. Again, identical. It rains upon the just and the unjust. Just as we saw the one that built his house upon a rock, even though it was built upon the rock, the winds came, the rains came, the storms of life hit it. But here we find also the man that built his house upon the sand. Same storms come against him. The same things happen to him. But the difference is how it stands. So we find here in the rain descended, verse 27, and the floods came and the winds blew
and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
So, back to Proverbs this evening, God tells us in verse number 12, for us, the righteous man and his righteous, don't think can make us righteous, to a wise man will considereth the house of the wicked. And again, when you think about what do you consider, the big thing to understand tonight, the house is going to fall. And friend, tonight I hope and pray as a wise person, you would not want your house to fall. You'd want to build your family and your life and your surroundings upon something that would be sufficient. And the only thing that is sufficient is God Himself. I know people that build their house upon a church. Churches fall. I know people that build their houses upon a preacher and preachers fall. But I promise you that we can build our house upon the things of God and God Himself, and God says they'll never fall. That's what the righteous man ought to consider when he looks at the wicked. We see the end thereof. No matter who they are, what they are, how much money they have, how much money they don't have, how much education they have or they don't have, what title they have, what title they never will get, the wicked man will fall. All throughout the Bible, we find how God shows over and over through men how the wicked will always fall. And then the latter part of verse number 12 says this, but God. So we have a comparison here between God and us, the righteous man. He tells us to consider the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. The final end is going to be the same. God's going to destroy them. The wrath of God will fall. But preacher, Oprah Winfrey says that God loves everybody, and praise the Lord, He does. But just because He loves you don't mean you're going to heaven. He loves you enough to give you a way to heaven. He provided a means for heaven. He gives everybody an opportunity to go to heaven. But there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and the shed blood there on Calvary. But again, I don't care if you're sitting on a church pew, or you're sitting in a whorehouse, or you're sitting at the bar. God's going to destroy the wicked. Just because you come to church don't mean you're righteous. What makes you righteous? The Lord. So again, God tells us, the righteous man, to consider the house of the wicked and their end. They're going to fall. They're going to be destroyed. And I don't take pride in that. I don't think, look at what's going to happen. Don't you feel sorry for them? Don't you have compassion toward them? That could be you. That could be me. It should be me. It's only by the grace of God. It's only because somebody showed me what God did for me. And I took the word of God and the Spirit of God spoke to me. And I believed in Christ. And Christ saved me. So I believe verse 12 is such a great verse to put mental note in, that God tells us to consider. Why? Because we don't want to go that way. And we don't want our children to go that way. And we don't want our families to go that way. So God tells us to consider. Verse number 13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall himself, but shall not be heard. Here we have the great law of sowing and reaping. I know that we as a church, and most of you don't know, but I know my wife knows, and I know Miss Aretha knows, we get calls pretty much on a daily basis, people wanting help. And we do help people from time to time. As I said before, I've singled out a lot of it and slowed a lot of it down because we're not helping nobody unless they come sit through a service. If they need help, they'll come sit in a church service. I might not give it one shot to preach to them, but I'm going to take my one shot. And then I sit down and we'll talk over the situations. And again, we do help people. But I do know there's people that have needs. And I know in the day that we live in, all the scams and all this stuff that goes on, it's easy to get cold. It's easy to get hard against people and not help people. But God here tells us, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself. You might have everything you need today, but I promise you, there'll be a day you'll need some help. There'll be some time or another you're going to need. Well, preacher, it might not be financial. It might not be. But I promise you, there's going to be a day you're going to need somebody to help you. And God tells us if we stop our ear at the poor, when it's our turn, He says nobody will hear us. So we ought to be attentive. Let me say this, and again, I hate that it's this way. I guess it's probably always been this way, but it's increasing in our day. You know, people trying to scam people, people cheating and lying. As I've told us before, and I've told others, you know, if God lays it on your heart to give somebody something to help them, don't worry about what they do. You're not accountable to what they do. You're accountable for what you do. And it was even testified in the men's prayer room. Somebody gave Brother Ralph a quarter. He wanted to make sure he gave that quarter back. Why? Because, as I've said before, a lot of times you give somebody, you know, you lend it to them. Most of the time it ain't coming back. So if you just give it to them with no expectations of it ever come back, you'll be all right. But God tells us here just to understand that if you stop your ear towards those that are poor, that cry that when it's your turn, you'll not be heard. Verse number 14, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. And again, basically, I think we're talking about bribery there. You know, you try to give them that gift to pacify them, to get them through, to change their mind. And it's a true thing. It happens all the time. And God tells us a little bit about it there. Verse number 15. It is a joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. And this is one of those verses that I can give you what I think, I guess. But, you know, there is a comparison here in verse number 15, a comparison between the joy and then that destruction. It says it's a joy to the just to do judgment, and it's a joy to do right. And it ought to be a joy to do right. It ought to be something in your heart that you want to do right. But then it says, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. And again, that's just plain truth. We know their final end is going to be that destruction. Verse number 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And boy, have I seen people wander. The key word there in that verse is wandering. That wandereth. The Bible says there again, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. The man that wanders away from his Bible reading. The man that wanders away from Bible teaching. The man that wanders away from Bible preaching and church. And I've seen many through just my short life of people that have wandered away. They were here one moment, and little by little they begin to wander off and wander off and wander off. And what does God say about them? He says, the man that wandereth off out of the way of understanding shall, it's not that it might happen, God says it will happen, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Why? Because the only place you'll ever find life is right here. If you wander away from the lights, you'll be in darkness. And you'll be in that anybody in here like to be around dead things? It's the reason I think somebody has to do it, but I'm glad God didn't make me be an undertaker or funeral home guy. I just don't think I'd want to be around dead people every day. I like to be around people that's got some life. I like to be around light. I don't like darkness. But if you begin to wander away, do you know you can be here and not be here? Some of you are there tonight. You're here in body, but that's about it. Your mind has wandered. Your thought process has wandered away from what God wants us to know. And God says that leads to the congregation of the dead. And again, why in the world would you want to be around dead things? Verse number 17, he that loveth pleasure, this is 2019 verse right here. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine
and all shall not be rich. This is the question. Who or what do you love? Our world is so full of loving pleasure. We are so entertained in our every being. It's even slipped into our churches. We have become so eye-driven. But what, when you love that pleasure, who should we love? The Lord. That's pleasurable to me. But when God tells us in this verse that he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, it's going to cost you. Look at the... It amazes me how dumb people are. And I know people don't like me talking this way, but I was talking to a man 2 weeks ago, I guess now. This man, he can't keep a penny in his pocket. He's broke all the time. He's constantly buying things for pleasure. New iPhone's coming out. They'll be glad to make you a deal so you can pay them $1,500 for that phone. New computer's coming out. I gotta have that one. Well, but this guy, he ain't got nothing to his name. Him and his wife or live-in, whatever she is. He told me the other day, he said, I got a credit card and I was going to use it for some health needs and my wife got a hold of it and spent $3,200 on our two dogs. I said, I'd have shot them for nothing. I know that's, PETA, just call me, that's all right. $3,200 that he didn't have for Fifi and Fido. But that's Fifi and Fido. God says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. You love God, you'll be a rich man. I promise you. So, great truth. So, who do you love? That's that question. All right, verse number 18 this evening. Verse number 18. The wicked shall... Now, this is that verse. Verse 18 is that verse that... I don't know what to do with it. So, I'll just read it to you and smile at you and we'll go to the next verse. The wicked, and God says, shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. There'll be a test on this next Sunday, so I really can't tell you what that means. I don't understand what God's trying to tell me there. So you know what I do? I pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me. And so far he ain't showed me. Again, I promise you, I've read too many what men think this verse says. And I can't get peace about anything that man's told me that they think it says. But for some reason, God wanted us to know the wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous and the transgressor for the upright. All I can say again is I believe that good wins. God will destroy those wicked. And why he tells us there that they're a ransom for the righteous, I don't know. But that's what he says. So, all right, there you go. That's verse 18. Study that one, see if you can see something that I don't see. All right, verse number 19. Here it is, Brother Tony, underline, highlight. Oh, you done got that one highlighted, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Brother Tony was our help on verse 9. Verse 9 said this, it's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And Brother Jim Sides gave me a new translation of that, but I will not give you his version. If you'd like to know, ask Brother Jim at the end of the service. I'll let him either decide to tell you or not to tell you what he thinks that verse said. But God tells us, and again, God telling these things. Why would God tell it? Well, he tells us in 9 that it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, up on the roof, in the elements of all the rains, the thunders, the snows, whatever. A man would rather be there than inside of a wide house with a brawling woman. And I mentioned it last time, we spent a lot of time there. And again, ladies, we're not going to spend a lot of time. Let's look at verse number 19, because it's basically the same as verse number 9. God said, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. And Tony said, amen.
Some of you other men wanted to say amen, but you were scared. Why did God say that? Does God hate women? No. God tells us much and great things about a true lady. Not what the world says, but what God says. And ladies, this is the point I want to drive home before I give you one definition a little bit and move on. Just as we saw in verse number 9, and just as God points out again, ladies, the power that you as a lady has is tremendous. You have so much power that a man, in the wrong way, ladies, you could use that power, that a man would rather live on top of the house, or a man would rather be out in the wilderness with all the tigers and bears, oh my, than to live in a house with you. Now that's sad, isn't it? But you know, that's how a lot of marriages are, and it's not always the women's fault, I promise you. But ladies, I think God is trying to let us see again, if you draw it all the way back to Genesis, God gave Eve to Adam to what? To complete him. And when that part of a man, which is you ladies, is not right, it takes that man to the place that he would rather be on the rooftop, or he'd rather be out in the wilderness than to be with a woman that's not right. And again, notice this verse, number 19, notice the wording again. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. That word contentious comes from the word contending. I've seen a lot of women that contend against their husband, always against him. Again, and I know, 2019, this is not what Oprah Winfrey would say, and it's not what the women movement of the day says, but God still puts an order in the home. Amen. Amen. He does. God tells us to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Fellas, you do that, and then she'll have no problem in being submissive as God tells them to be. And again, preacher didn't make this up. This is what God says. And ladies, that constantly contending and constantly taking away, it's a shame, it really is. And I've got pictures in my mind right now of some people, not here, but some other people. They're constantly going against everything their husband says. Good men, godly men. But their wife they married is not following in line that what God would have them to be. And with that thought, it destroys that man. Hello? You want to hear something really interesting? Tonight, this week, go to Brother Knox's website and listen to his sermon on Judges, whatever. It's on Samson. I think it's about the battles. He says some things about marriage that me and my wife have said for years. It's the craziness. Samson had a wife and he gave his wife back to her daddy. And then he comes back later and says, I want her. And daddy says, well, I done gave her to another man. But I got her sister here and she's prettier than she is. Just take her. You think he was heading out cattle or something, you know? But that's, and he says a lot more. It's very interesting, but it just makes me think again. Fellas, she might be beautiful, but one day she probably ain't going to be. Right. I ain't going there. You marry for her beauty, you'll probably end up dreading it one day. Same thing, ladies. Okay. I just want to clear. I wasn't doing digging that hole. There's a verse we're going to look at tonight that talks about this. But I'm saying tonight, it pays, I believe with all my heart, that God has a woman for every man. And the problem is when a a man marries the wrong woman or a woman marries the wrong man. It don't work right. It's the reason I try to tell people, make sure who you're dating or who you're hanging around or people that you can live with. So again, it's again, verse 19 is just a continuation of verse number 9. So let's move on along. Verse number 20. There is treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Here's a great practice that God tells us. You know what a wise man knows? A wise man knows how to save up. A wise man will look at his money and his properties and his beings, and he's not wasteful. And that's what God is telling us there, the latter part there. But verse 20 says, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Got a hole in his pocket. Burn, burn, burn. Got to get it. And then he don't got nothing. So that's what verse 20 is about. Verse 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Who are you following? If you're following Christ, you'll get that. You follow anything else and you're not getting any of that. So who are you following? Verse 22. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. What are walls? Walls are obstacles. Walls are things that prevent us from going in or getting to. And God says a wise man will scale that. A wise man will look and see how he can get over it and through it. And he tells us there, it's a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Don't give up so easy. Look at something and ponder. I love to watch little ones. It's good. We've enjoyed having Silas in our home, and we like Carrie and Seth too, but Silas is just, you know, he's something else, you know. But I like to watch his little mind. You can tell he looks at something and he's trying to think about it, and he's trying to see how it works. And he tries to figure out what happens. God tells us a wise man, when he comes in front of an obstacle, he's not going to quit. He's not going to give up. He's going to figure out how he can conquer that wall and get inside or over and conquer whatever that problem might be. So, again, don't give up. Verse 23, here you are. You ought to strike, circle, highlight, underline. Verse 23 is one of the verses tonight that I believe that everybody ought to keep in their brain. Verse 23 says, whoso, that's anybody, keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. You ever said something you wish you could, said something you wish you could take back? You ain't getting it back, are you? It's like toothpaste. When it comes out of the tube, it don't go back in. I've seen so many problems because people open their mouths. Keep your mouth closed. Don't say stuff. And Lord help, I know God knew, but he should have, his modern translation, and I say this very, I know this is the word of God, but the power of the tongue, now we got the power of Facebook and Twitter and all the other garbage holes that's out there. It amazes me how people like to run people down on a computer, but they sure won't tell them nothing face to face. Boy, that shows a man, don't it? But God says, whoever will keep his tongue. Again, we know what James says about this tongue. Hell fire. This tongue here is trouble. It's dangerous. And God says, and that's, again, how many tongues you got? Some of you, I ain't sure, but one is the way you're supposed to have. How many ears you got? I believe you ought to listen more than you talk. Practical stuff. But God wants us to know these things. So verse 23 is such a truth. Verse 24, 25, and 26 is just a continuance of what we've seen already. Let me read them real quickly. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. We've talked about that pride. Verse 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him. Slothful, lazy, it kills his own self, for his hands refuse to labor. Verse 26, he coveth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Again, we've seen that. Verse 27, Now, I wish we had more time. We could spend a long time here, but let me just give you verse 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? God does not desire your sacrifice. It's amazing the people that believe that they can live however they want to and think they can bring a sacrifice to God and please Him. God doesn't work that way. There's only been one sacrifice that ever pleased God, and that was the death of Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice, God accepted. But there's religions today says, pay, 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 give this, do that, so God will be all right with your sins. God's not all right with sin. And here God speaks of a man that would bring a sacrifice with a wicked mind. How did he leave? The same way he came. So again, people believe they can just do whatever they want to. If you want to go look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 later, it talks about that same thought about God not accepting those sacrifices. So again, it speaks here in verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. What's that abomination mean? Anybody remember the definition? Makes God sick. But I brought him an apple pie. God didn't want your apple pie. God wants your heart.
Amen.
And again, so many people, it might be you tonight. You know you've done wrong when you come. God, I'll never do that again. If you'll do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. You're not buying a used car. God's not willing and dealing. Sin is sin. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Doesn't change. Real quickly, verse 28 this evening. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. What will last? This book will last. And it talks about here how that false witness shall perish. They die, it's gone with them. But you know what continues to get? I couldn't help but think about this. Lester Roloff's been dead since in the 80s, I guess. But guess what? He still speaks. I hear him preaching all the time. Why? Because the Word of God don't stop. This keeps going and going and going. But false witnesses, they die. Verse 29. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Are you teachable? Do you have a teachable spirit? A wicked man hardeneth his face. You ain't going to tell me what to do. But an upright man, he'll take direction and take it and use it. Verse 30, there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. Man has tried to disprove God. Man has tried to do away with God. But guess what? No man's ever succeeded. No man ever will. And then last of all, this evening, verse number 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know how I can lay my head down tonight on my pillow, go to sleep, not worry? Because I got safety, because I'm in the Lord. The horse, he's prepared to fight, but the Lord, He is safety. Hope you know the Lord tonight. That's the key. So that's chapter 21. All right, let's stand together this evening.